There's a lot of news to break down this week. We'll start, however, with tomorrow's Democratic presidential primary in the Palmetto State. No one better to talk about that than Congressman Jim Clyburn. He's joining us from that state's capital city of Columbia. Mr. Clyburn is the third highest ranking figure in the House of Representatives, but more important for our purposes, he's represented South Carolina's 6th district in Congress since 1993. Congressman Clyburn announced his support for the person who you just heard a few moments ago, that's Joe Biden, earlier this week. Thanks so much, Congressman Clyburn, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Jim Clyburn, tell us a little bit about the dynamics of the vote as we're just, just 24 hours away from it. What is the setup and the scenario in South Carolina for the Democratic candidates?
Well, South Carolina will be the fourth contest. As you know, we've had Nevada, New Hampshire, and Iowa. But this is the first time that the demographic of the voters resembles what the voting diversity of Democrats will be in the fall. We made the case to the Rules Committee, Democratic National Committee, that South Carolina should be in the so-called pre-primary window because our candidates needed to have exposure to more diversity. At least we will get some feel for how people with diverse backgrounds feel about our candidates. We've been losing elections in the past because our is not reflective of what the state is all about. No, here's New Hampshire. What? Ours, 3% African-American. New Hampshire, 1% African-American. And everybody says, if a Democrat can't get African-American votes, they can't win the general election. So why don't you have them exposing themselves to African-Americans early on in the primary before people get their minds made up or have this perceived momentum running for one of the other candidates? And you look for South Carolina to just follow along rather than giving you a good test of what the candidate is all about. And that's why those of us feel that people like Joe Biden will give us a better candidate.
So let's get to that for a moment. It had been said you might hold off on offering an endorsement till after the people of your state had weighed in, but you did indeed endorse the former vice president earlier this week. Two quick questions. Why'd you do that? And secondly, well, let's actually just start with that. Why Joe Biden? He's had a little bit of a tough time the first few races. Why do you think he's the best person to lead the Democratic Party and to lead the country?
Well, let me say something else. We should go back and chat 4 years ago. I endorsed Hillary Clinton earlier in the process than I did this time. John Kerry, I endorsed John Kerry early in the process. Dick Gephardt, way back when he was running, I endorsed him. So I don't know where that came from, but I never have
right,
waited
fair
to see how my state will go. I've seen those reports, but that's not true.
All right, fair enough. So tell us about the person you did endorse, Joe Biden. Why is he the best person to carry the banner for the Democrats?
I always say that history ought to inform us. And when you look at the history of the candidates in the race, see where they have been on issues of importance to the Democratic voters, Joe Biden has the best record. Joe Biden is a Democrat. He's not a Democratic socialist. He's not someone who was a Republican until several weeks ago. He's a Democrat. He's always been a Democrat. Elected to the United States Senate at the age of 29, so he has the background and the experience that we need in a candidate. He is the author of the Violence Against Women Act. He was chairing the Judiciary Committee when we extended the Voting Rights Act for 25 years. So it's one thing to talk the talk. It's something else to walk the walk, and Joe Biden has walked the walk. You go through his record, and you've got to admit that he has the best Democratic record among those who are currently running. And so that's why my long history with him gave me the comfort level I needed to endorse him in this race. Now, you can run a race on soundbites. I said to one media source this morning, I was around in 1972 when I saw the same kind of scenario shaping up, that's shaping up now. And we nominated George McGovern because the so-called real progressives, liberals, if you please, wanted him. The Southern African-American Democrats in Miami in 1972 ended up walking out of the convention. California challenged South Carolina's delegation, tried to kick us off the floor. That kind of foolishness is what's going on right now.
I was going to say, Congressman, it sounds like for those listeners who may not have lived through that time in the way you did, what you're describing, it sounds to me, is that you're saying Bernie Sanders may be that kind of pure progressive figure who will ultimately divide the party in a way that will hurt its chances in the fall. Is that what you're sketching out for us?
Well, that's exactly what my colleagues are saying to me. Everybody seemed to be feeling that our party ought to move over to where my good friends are. They call themselves the Squad, two of whom are African Americans, mm-hmm. and two in another caucus. They did not flip any seats. They replaced other Democrats. You've got people now who are running against Democratic incumbents, especially in the Congressional Black Caucus. They aren't flipping seats. They seem to be wanting to defeat those of us who have been holding on to this party in all these years. So where we get this idea from that these 25 or so people who flip seats ought to be ignored in their interest. I've been out here camping for them. I've been out with Aldred down in Texas. I've been down there with DC in Texas, and I know what they're saying to me. These people are saying, if I have to defend the credentials of our presidential nominee, I'm going to end up losing my reelection.
And so this has repercussions both at the White House level and very much at the level of, you know, can the Democrats hold on to maintain control of the House of Representatives where you serve so in such a senior form. Congressman, we only have a few minutes left, and we appreciate your time today, but I do want to ask you a little bit about questions that do involve race, one of which is a number of black voters have told reporters of their dismay and concern about the fact that candidates, including Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, were not able to persevere at least this far to get to a point in the primary process where they could be before a more diverse electorate. To what degree do you share that concern, even as you've endorsed Vice President Biden among those who remain?
Well, look, I was with Cory Booker for a little bit last night. He thanked me for all the help that I gave him in his campaign. I did what I could to help Kamala Harris. But here's the deal. We try to make the process open for everybody, and we did that. We had three African-Americans running. We had others, Asians, running. We can't guarantee success. We have to guarantee a fair and open process, which we did. Now, given time, given the process, the time to work, we may be able to get to a point where we can do better with that. Mm-hmm. And I'll just remind you, Barack Obama is African-American, a real African-American. Daddy African, mother American. And he won, and won big. So what does that say about the process? This is the same process we had in place. It doesn't always yield a good result. Maybe what we got to do is do a better job of fundraising, because what got them out of the race is the inability to raise the kind of money that needed to stay afloat. So the process is open. It worked well, and we elected an African-American president. It can't guarantee success.
And now you're looking for his vice president to get the lift. In the last minute we have left, Congressman, Joe Biden has said, you know, just get me to South Carolina and I can pull this off. In recent days, he's made strong appeals to African Americans. In one instance, even saying, hey, I was arrested with Nelson Mandela in South Africa. That turns out not to have been true. What concern do you have about the vice president's, the way in which vice president is seeking to appeal to black voters in some ways that's not consistent with the historical record?
Well, I don't know about that. Someone said the same thing to me about that claim. maybe it did not happen. But let me assure you, back in the 60s, there were many times when I thought I was arrested. And the police picked me up at one spot and took us four or five blocks away and dropped us off, and there's no record of that. I felt arrested, and maybe I wasn't. So I tell people all the time, let's be careful about how we deal with these kinds of issues, because these kind of activities, like what's going on with Nelson Mandela, what was going on with Martin Luther King Jr. here,
yep.
You had some arrests, which were not arrests.
Okay, we're gonna have to leave it there. That's, you're hearing from Congressman Jim Clyburn of South Carolina. Thanks so much for your time.